Hello and welcome to a special Friends of the Podcast episode here at Sandman Stories Presents. As you know, I'm your host, Dustin. Today we are doing something a little different. You are used to hearing me read you a story and talk about what I think about the story, and saying hello to different listeners. Well, the strange thing for this episode will be that you will hear other voices. These are not all of my podcasting friends. Some folks were busy, some had other engagements, and some were impossible to get a hold of. But this is a group of my podcasting friends who stepped up and sent in recordings about what stories mean to them, what storytelling means to them, and what stories are their favorites. And to start us off, I have my friend Thishira from the Legendary Africa, Asian Tapestry, and Once Upon a Daydream podcasts, and a wonderful storyteller herself talking about stories. Okay, let's begin.
Hey Sandman listeners, it's so lovely of Dustin to invite me to share my experience with folklore and stories that have played an important role in my life. Three books of African folklore instantly came to mind. When Hippo Was Hairy, When Lion Could Fly, and When an Elephant Was King, all by Nick Greaves. These three books each contain several individual stories all inspired by African folklore. My parents bought them in the year 2000, so a pretty long time ago. Two of my favorite tales were Why Python Shed His Skin and How the Zebra Got His Stripes. I loved the brilliant illustrations by Rod Clement, and also enjoyed that Greaves would include where each story originated, some history of the people, and some facts about the various creatures. I didn't know it at the time, but I'm pretty sure these books inspired not only my podcast, but my love for myth, lore, and ancient cultures. If you want to hear stories similar to When Lion Could Fly, be sure to check out my podcasts Legendary Africa and The Asian Tapestry, where I retell African and Asian myths and stories. I also have another podcast, Once Upon a Daydream, where I read aloud public domain books. I'll leave you now with the always wonderful Dustin.
Thank you, Doc. I feel so lucky to have been a voice on your show, and I'm so happy to know you. Seriously, your letters are always so wonderful to read. Hearing how she was inspired by reading those stories gives me a lot of hope for my listeners. Maybe one of you will be inspired to tell stories as well. I can only hope. Next, we're going to check in with Because Language. That's Daniel, Hedvig, and Ben, who love talking about language. We'll actually check in with them several times.
Hey everybody, I'm Daniel.
I'm Ben.
I'm Hedvig.
And we are Because Language, a show about linguistics, the science of language. Thanks, Sandman, for having us on. We're talking about what folk tales and stories mean to us. What do you reckon?
I found out recently that one of the people I went to high school with has written a fantasy novel inspired by local folklore of the region I'm from.
Cool.
And I'm reading it. And it's really cool because I can recognize stuff, but it's really gritty. And I remember when growing up, I read like a lot of like Howf and like Grimm that are like folk stories that are like people die, there's exploitation, there's torture, there's like bad things. And it's all meant to warn you to like mainly not go into the forest alone. That seems to be the one thing. Don't do anything alone. Don't go to the water alone. Don't travel alone. Don't do anything alone ever. So folktales to me means like the collective memory of like, what do we need to tell people so that they act correctly?
That's very languagey, isn't it? Because that's what we do with language. We pass knowledge down.
No, that's what we do with culture.
Ah.
Does that make sense?
I like that.
And language is a part of that. But just like, it's just like, if you don't, you know, you don't have a religion or something and you need like rules for like how to behave, then they often get distilled into folk tales. So when I hear a folk tale, I often think like, what's the rule that I'm supposed to learn? Sometimes they don't have them and it's confusing.
I like that because like stories and folk tales, we do. I mean, there are some really scary ones. But we're able to explore those situations. I can do that with my children. We can explore scary things or violent things or even gory things or choices. You know, what kind of choices would you make in the situation? And then we can talk about those. Mm-hmm. And nobody's getting hurt for real.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like folk stories. And to be clear, right, like, I think, depending on how Dustin, the Sandman, wants to use this particular clip and where it falls and stuff, I don't know if this has already been explained, but, like, folk stories now are still very much around us, right? Like, and it's happening constantly, it's happening all the time. It's probably not happening quite so much right at this moment that we're recording because a bunch of writers are on strike, but that is what, like, the folk practice is now, right, is the stories that we share with each other on screen or in video games or whatever it happens to be, or on stage if you're watching plays and stuff like that. Oh, tea, yes, bring me tea.
I like how Hedvig connected it to someone she knows, Daniel connected it to culture, and Ben connected it to morals and the writer's strike before getting excited by the tea. Don't be alone seems to be a theme I'm noticing. We'll check back in with them later. And the following clip is from Ethan from the Tabby Tabby podcast all about Filipino folklore. She has sucked me into the world of aswangs and dikbalangs. Let's see what she has to say about storytelling.
Hi, Destin. One of the coolest folktales for me in Philippine folklore is the Tawong Lipod. It's special because my grandparents and parents used to warn me about them every night. They'd tell me not to point my fingers into the woods or else this Tawong Lipod might get me. This invisible shadow-like creature really left a mark on my childhood, making me a bit spooked about what lurks in those dark woods. It made me believe that there was more to the forest than just animals and humans. Like, there's these mysterious beings there too. So I learned to be respectful to them to avoid any trouble. My grandmother passed these stories down to me, and now I'm doing my best to share them with the world using my podcast. I've still got a lot to learn, but I want these tales to stay alive. It's like my own way of contributing to preserving our folklore.
It is really nice to see what an impact the stories have on people long after they've heard them. Ethan's show is a great one for hearing about these mythical creatures. It goes along well with what Hedvig was talking about with being alone in the woods. Thank you, Ethan, and Ethan's Lola. Next up, Amy and Chantel from the Unsighted, an English Lit podcast, talk about what storytelling means to them. I'm excited because they read so much and they know so many stories. Let's listen.
So for me, storytelling is basically inviting someone to feel something with you. It's asking someone to share in an experience, to share these characters or this feeling, and join you in this journey that an author has beautifully created for you.
For me, storytelling is about connection, similarly. It brings people of various backgrounds together to share this lived experience that they wouldn't have been able to have together without it. It means giving people an escape and also letting them learn lessons that they might not have necessarily learned in their personal lived experiences.
Oh, that's lovely. Amy, I love sharing stories with you.
Me too.
I agree. Sharing experiences is very important. Thank you so much. And if you like stories, Unsighted is a great one for covering classics with fun. Seriously, cool book friends. Check out their series on the Henrys by Shakespeare. And another group of folks I'm super happy to know are Anna and Shay, hosts of the Teacher Think Aloud podcast. It's a great podcast for reflecting on your teaching, for thinking about how you teach, and ways to reach learners. Let's hear what they have to say.
Hi there, it's Shay and Anna from the Teacher Think Aloud podcast.
Hi! As English language educators, we know the power of stories and storytelling in the classroom and in our personal lives. Stories are a powerful pedagogical tool.
To us, listening to other stories and sharing our own stories provides an opportunity to connect people from all corners of the globe.
There's so much to learn about different cultures and people from stories. Stories can help us understand others and build cross-cultural understanding and empathy.
And of course, reading, listening to, telling stories, reenacting stories, and other activities around stories are great ways to practice authentic language, not only building fluency and vocabulary, but giving learners the language and confidence they need to develop their unique voice.
And that's why we love Sandman Stories Presents. Mm. Thanks, Dustin, for your friendship and the work you do. Bye!
That was so wonderful of them. I've learned so much from their show, and I'm so happy to have them as a resource and as podcasting friends. They have great reflective episodes for teachers and people who want to work with language learners. And empathy is a big part of their show. Let's check back in with Because Language. Daniel's got a point about morality, and Ben makes a great point about learning lessons and navigating the world. I like how Ben is looking into the future. Let's listen in.
Stories are how we teach each other about morality, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think that rather than being, I think there's that a lot of people possibly fall into this idea that like folk stories are less relevant. And I actually think it's the opposite. I think they're more relevant than they've ever been because life has become so much more complex. I think you really hit the nail on your head, which was like most folk stories are like, don't be alone. Right. But like we need now we need a lot more complex rules. Don't get me wrong. Don't be alone is a really important one. Right. Because we know that isolation is really bad and damaging and it leads to incels and a bunch of other like really toxic things. But we need stories that will teach us how to work with AI as it becomes more and more prevalent. Right. We're going to need a folk story for when like mass layoffs happen because we have autonomized a huge percentage of the workforce. And we need stories to help us survive, right? Everyone thinks it's about like water and stuff. And yeah, cheers. But it's about how to like be worthy of being alive as well, I think. And that's the stories that we tell each other. And that's folk stories.
Very cool. All right. Let's tune in to Conscious from the No Better Hip Hop show out of Winter Park, Florida. The name of the show is Our Show, and it features Conscious and Beat Unique as the two hosts, although sometimes it's just Conscious. This is a show that helps me find new music and gets me into stuff that I never would have heard of before. And the storytelling in the songs comes out, so that's really nice. Let's listen to Conscious.
Hey Dustin, Conscious here. What storytelling means to me? For me, I like the way that the storyteller can immerse the listener or reader in the world of the story. Through words and or sounds, the participant is transported and is right there along with the characters. A bonus for me is if there is a lesson that can be learned from the story, like with the folklore and fables you present in your episodes. Continued success, talk soon, peace, peace.
Thank you, Conscious. I'm so glad that you added your voice to this, and I'm really excited for your next episode and for hearing some new tunes. Thank you so much for that. Next up is Lindsay from the Yale Crime Podcast. Her show is really cool, and it covers true crime, but not from last week. It's not Ted Bundy stuff. It's stuff from 300 years ago. And oftentimes she comes up with classic Victorian slang, and she has people crack the cramp word, which I'll be on an episode in the not-too-far future. Let's hear what she has to say.
Hello, listeners. This is Lindsay from the Yield Crime Podcast. And I just wanted to share that storytelling allows us to learn more about the world and the people around us in ways that transcend language and gender and race and class. Storytelling is such an important aspect of humanity that allows us to learn more about the world around us, allows us to learn more about each other, and allows us to learn more about ourselves.
I agree. Stories are a great reflection of ourselves. Lindsay's pod has some really cool stories that go from being real crime stories and move into legends. And she just has so much knowledge about this. It's really cool. And she has dictionaries up on her bookshelf. That's some true nerdery. I say with four dictionaries up on my shelf. All right, next up is a clip from my friends and lovers, trademark, KT and OT, who host a show that is making waves in Australia. The award-nominated Jordan Peele interviewing superstars do the mahi so that we can get the treat. Let's see what these two have to say about storytelling.
Friends and dreamy lovers, thank you for allowing us to break the Sandman Matrix. You got your FYR host, Katie.
And OT.
And today we have a delicious diversity double whammy. Folklore from Tonga as well as Kenya. You want to kick us off, OT?
Yeah, sure. So growing up, used to hear about Oluo warrior. Luo is a tribe in Kenya. And his name is Luanda Magere. He used to be the strongest warrior there is. But he had one weakness, and that was his shadow. So if he was to go to war and people would stab him, nothing would happen. Arrows would just bounce off, bullets would ricochet. But if it hit his shadow, then he gets injured. You know, it's sort of the Samson and Delilah sort of vibe to it.
Oh, okay. I see what you're doing, Sandman Morpheus OT. It's interesting when you talk about folklore as well as folktale and I guess reality and also experiencing it as well. But owls hold a significance in Tongan culture. Obviously, there's a lot of joy, but this is more the passing of information of those loved ones that have passed away. So whenever you would see an owl, particularly at night, particularly outside of a window, very specific, my people are, it speaks to that sort of passing of knowledge and of a legacy. And what I particularly love about folklore is, depending on how many aunties and uncles you have, there's so many different understandings of it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dustin, so much for letting us join in this celebration. We absolutely love your podcast, but we love you even more.
Mm-hmm.
Mwah!
See ya.
I had not heard of that story before. OT's story of the warrior that cannot be killed except for stabbing his shadow. That's really cool. And I didn't know about the Tongan owl avoidance, but I had seen it on Res Dogs. And so I'm wondering how widespread it is. That would be really cool to find out. And so if you want to hear KT and OT's views on movies or TV shows, I highly recommend them. They've found stuff that I never would have watched. I wouldn't even have known of. But they also cover stuff that's wildly popular, and they talk about directors that are very popular and break down their filmographies in their Degustation. Awesome show. Next up, we have Jim. He's from the Film Rage podcast, hosted by Jim, Bryce, and Murray. These three Canadians watch movies so that you don't have to. Let's see what Jim has to say about stories.
Hey, Dustin, it's Jim from Film Rage Podcast. I want to congratulate you on your fantastic 200 episodes and could not be happier as you continue to bring joy and warmth to my heart week after week with the stories that you tell us. I have a story that is one of my favorite stories of all time that I used to read with my father as a child and continued on reading that to my own children, called A Funny Thing, which is about a dragon that eats children's dolls and about a hero named Bobo. and he creates something else for that creature to eat instead of children's dolls and brings happiness to the world, just like you do. Congratulations, buddy.
Oh my God, that's so cool that he's passing down the stories that he enjoyed, and I love that his kids are enjoying it. That book is by the same author. I think it's pronounced Wanda Gag. It's G-A-G, but it's a Hungarian name. Wanda also did 1 Million Cats. That was another one by Wanda Gag. All great stories. And I never intended my show to reach folks' hearts, but gosh darn, does that feel good. You can hear Jim's passion for storytelling with Murray and Bryce, telling us which movies are Mondo and which are just meh. Next up is my northern friend Melissa from the sadly now concluded Bewilderbeast podcast. And she gives an impassioned speech about how amazing storytelling is, and she should know. Her episodes are an excellent example of such.
Storytelling to me is the very soul of humanity. Without hyperbole or complicated characters, humor, joy, pain, a followable thread, crippling sadness or a knee-jerk reaction that will make you want to throw your book or your cell phone, because it's 2023, into the nearest river out of rage. A story without depth or flourish is nothing but a timeline or bullet points on a page or the most boring PowerPoint presentation of all time. Stories without the story part are just ingredients in a bowl on a table without the mixing, the heat, the flour handprint outlines on your apron, the final cake presentation in British Bake Off. We need the story to put it all together. And without laughter, without emotion, without stories, we are just clothed apes with a cell phone. Humans have been spilling the tea for as long as we've been human. We live for stories, and at one time we needed stories to explain why we're here, and we still often use stories to figure out where we go when our souls leave our bodies and everything in between. In times of pure chaos and in war, we tend to look to the good stories to give us hope. This hope becomes fuel to keep going in the darkest of times, and that's what stories can do for us. We sometimes do, because we're human, get really caught up in the stories, and we may lose track of reality. Conspiracy theory. Something in my throat. But storytelling is the very core of what makes us human. From songs to Insta-reel TikTok machine stuff to 10 episodes of Severance or Parks and Recreation, we need stories to feed our soul. And without it, in whatever form a story takes, why are we even here? And if I'm being honest, my favorite stories are and always have been songs. Being of Irish descent, everything in my growing up times was through music. And we told stories about the bloodiest wars through jaunty jigs because that's how you could hide your very dark history behind a peppy song. And we would slide the darkest decapitations into a joke because gallows humor, which all good Irish have been given as a gift. And a good example of using music as storytelling to tell something in the bowels of history is a song called Follow Me Up to Carlo. A version I particularly like is by Jim McCann. But my favorite song is called Wings by Josh Ritter. And the story he weaves through 2 minutes with his guitar is haunting and ambiguous. And at the end, always, even after all these years of listening to it, will still stop me in my tracks when I hear it. And that's what good stories can do. They can stop us and just give us a moment in our own heads, which I would beg, with all the cell phones and all the screens and all the go, 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 is something that we can all afford to take a few minutes inside our own head and really calibrate ourselves. And we can do that through stories. And Dustin, thank you so much for all the years of storytelling and filling my ears with these stories from around the world and your recording halfway around the world. I can't thank you enough for the stories that you've brought to me and to all of your listeners. Keep telling all the stories. We need them. It makes us human.
Gee, I hope the stories that I read can make you stop and think. And Melissa, I'm so thankful for your storytelling as well. And listeners, if you need dog training in the Northeast, look no further than the author and certified trainer and part-time chicken wrangler, Melissa. Thank you so much, friend. Next up, we have Amber from the Book Nerd Diaries blog. If you want to know more about books, she is always introducing me to new books, and it's really great to have this resource. Let's listen to Amber.
Hello all, this is Amber, your humble host of the Book Nerd Diaries podcast. If there is any one piece of folklore that has been the biggest part of my life, it would have to be The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving. As someone who's never felt like I fit in, Halloween has always been the one day of the year where I felt at least a little less alone in the world. The dark and monstrous is celebrated this time of year, and so maybe being strange for just this one moment in time isn't so bad after all. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow is one of those stories that has been synonymous with the Halloween season for as long as I can remember. I've enjoyed it in many different media iterations over the course of my life, and whatever form it takes, it always transports me back to chill October days of carving pumpkins and dressing up to go trick-or-treating. This creepy, beloved classic represents everything I hold dear, and it will hold a special place in my heart for as long as I live.
I like how she connects Sleepy Hollow to Halloween, and how it makes her feel less alone. And Amber, as long as I'm around, you've got a friend. Thank you for that wonderful piece. Next up is Nick Mashinsky of A History of the Incas podcast. I rely on his podcast a lot for knowing how to pronounce South American cities' names, Incan warriors' names, all sorts of stuff. It's really helped me out with the Ecuadorian stories, so big, big thank you to Nick. Let's see what he has to say about storytelling.
Stories and folktales are forms of art used by humans since we had the capacity to speak. The ability to weave together a tale is no less a feat than a beautiful painting. And like a physical piece of art, stories can inspire, evoke emotion, and create bridges between cultures. And yet what I find fascinating is how no matter where one goes in the world, though the tale may be told in a different language or have different characters, one can always find a story with a theme that is familiar to them. It is quite something that despite our seemingly vast differences, we can all come together and appreciate a good story.
Yeah, engaging storytelling, making connections, all that stuff is so important. I would say go listen to Nick's podcast just to get a better idea of the history of South America, especially in the northern and western regions, Ecuador, Peru, like that. And also, he's got a couple of co-hosts that do his English version one in Spanish, so that's also awesome to have. Let's turn back to Hedvig, Ben, and Daniel and hear them talk about multiple ways to use language and stories.
You know, folk sometimes gets a bad name among linguists, like a folk etymology is some weird fake story that people think is real but isn't. But we on the show, as linguists and language communicators, we know that sometimes people believe things like harmful ideologies that need to be countered. Like, there's only one way to do language, and if you do language differently, it's somehow bad and wrong. That's a harmful narrative, a harmful story. So what we try to do is we try to find a better story, like about how doing things differently is normal, and that's the way that it's always worked through history. So on this show, we're really interested in storytelling, and that's a way that we get the message across.
But sometimes the stories that survive through history are also like really random and weird. Like when you hear some folk stories, they're like, and then the aunt just left and never came back, and you're like, oh, I thought that was an important character. Oh, no.
The rules of narrative were a lot looser a long time ago.
Yes. And sometimes it's just like the things that survive were the like funny, bizarre things that aren't necessarily that like moralizing. But some of them are just like, they're fun, so people repeated them.
Right. So my favorite version of that, or my favorite anecdote about folk stories, and I promise we'll get back to doing our show in a moment, is
yep.
is the idea that pre sort of 200-ish years ago, and Hedvig, I'm sure you heard whatever episode of a podcast that I'm pulling this from, but I can't like reference it off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Fairy tales were not anywhere near as much about lessons, and a lot of them were about, like, let's just inhabit this fantastical world where this person acts like a piece of ish and all the good things happen to them, right? Because the lives that we lead, we just are in drudgery constantly. And it's really, like, there was this really famous Italian fairy tale from, like, 400 years ago, which was about a girl, and I'm really reaching here, but a girl basically finds a magic doll, flips over her entire family to get the magic doll, and then the magic doll just grants all of her wishes. Like, her family is still destitute and poor, and she just lives happily ever after having found a magic doll that she screwed over her family to acquire. And narratively now, that would never happen, like, in any story ever, because we don't live in that world anymore, right? We don't live in a world where everything is so awful constantly that we just need to imagine that, like, a good thing can happen to even a terrible person.
Yeah.
Because it can happen like to me that. Too.
And I wonder if some of the thing that I was saying before about moralizing lessons is just because of like in the 1800s or people like the Grimms, and Hauf in my household who just collected stories, and maybe they, you know, selected stories and
have
they
were distorted like, along like Christian Euro moral.
I love that they're showing that there are multiple valid ways to use language and multiple valid ways to use stories. I do get a chuckle about the missing ants and major characters that disappear. And it's also great to see how what is important changes over the years. This is why I usually edit out references to virginity or skin color if it's like, oh, a little bit of editing here and there just makes it so much better. Next up is Helen, who keeps the fire of African folklore alive through her show, Mythological Africans. Let's listen to Helen.
Hello, my name is Helen Day, and I curate Mythological Africans. This is a platform where we explore myths and folklore from the African continent. Think of it as a digital fire around which I gather with others to tell the stories of African people. You know, in traditional African societies, storytellers were the creators and preservers of culture, so I like to think that I'm doing my small part to keep the spirit which has sustained African people through the highs and lows of human history alive.
Oh, it is such a huge task to keep stories alive from a whole continent, and I really appreciate the hard work she puts in to keep these folktales alive. Helen just devotes so much of her time and energy to keeping these stories out there. It's really wonderful to have her doing that. Next up is one of my not-so-secret pod crushes, The Endless Knot, hosted by Avon and Mark, and it marries etymology and the classics. I've learned so much from them, and I've listened to every episode. Okay, I'll stop fanboying now.
Hi, Dustin. Mark and Avon from The Endless Knot podcast here. Congratulations on 200 episodes. That's fantastic.
When I think about stories, one of the things that comes to mind is the metaphor of weaving that underlies so much of the language of stories in English. For instance, the word text comes from a Latin word meaning woven material. And in stories like Beowulf, or in this passage from the Old English poem Elena by the poet Cynewulf, the art of telling stories is compared to weaving. Thus, miraculously have I gleaned and woven the craft of words. Word craftum waf.
And that metaphor goes right back to some of the earliest stories we have on record. In the Iliad, when we first meet Helen, she's sitting at her loom weaving. And what she's weaving is the story of her life and all the adventures and battles that surround her, reflecting the narrative that Homer is creating. Right from the beginning, to tell a story was to weave a text. So thank you, Dustin, for continuing to wind those threads through our everyday lives with your show.
Gosh, how can you not fall in love with that podcast? Just learning about how the words are connected and how folks weave stories, just gives an extra layer to the storytelling, and I love it, and I'm so glad to know them. And now, the award-winning Teresa Matsura, supported by her amazing sound guy Rich Pav, talks storytelling. Where my show goes broad, hers is laser-focused on Japanese folklore, and she'll even buy old texts and translate them herself. Let's listen to her words.
My name is Teresa Matsura, and my podcast is Uncanny Japan. What storytelling means to me? Well, I'm an only child. I was born in Texas, and before I was a year old, we moved all the way up to Alaska. Before I started kindergarten, we moved back down south, this time to South Carolina. And we just kept moving. Add an understandable shyness to the recipe, and you have a kid who spent a lot of time at home reading and escaping in books. Terrified to go out and make friends, my friends were the giants, witches, trolls, and talking animals. I never cared too much for princesses. I was just recently thinking about the different things that brought me to Japan back in 1990. But that naturally led me to what has kept me here for over 30 years. I re-remembered my childhood, so enmeshed in fairy tales and folklore. There weren't any games back then, so I lived in those stories. In Japan, I found a country extremely rich in legends and folktales and these bizarre creatures called yokai, totally unlike anything I'd ever seen or heard before. I started researching and studying them, then writing stories about them, books even. I also talk about them on my podcast. It's been 34 years, and there is no limit to these adventures, and I'm still making friends with all these beasties, and I'm finding comfort there.
It is amazing how a young woman from the South was carried away by yokai and lived to tell the tale. Her audio is always so clear and intimate, and is actually a podcast that I model mine on. The nature sounds in the background, the calming voice, that's all just Teresa copy and pasted onto mine. So if you like mine, hers is where I got it from. And I love that she has so many cool stories and so much folklore, and she talks about it while living as an immigrant in Japan. It's just really cool. Also, I just put in the order for her book, Carp Face Boy, so that should be pretty cool to read. And another podcast that is full of turns of phrase, Bunny Trails, is hosted by Shauna and Dan, two really nice folks. They were one of the first podcasts that I reached out to after listening to a bunch of their episodes, and I was shocked that they replied. Let's hear what they have to say about stories.
Hey Dustin, this is Shauna and Dan from Bunny Trails, a word history podcast, where every Wednesday we go on a whimsical adventure of idioms and other turns of phrase.
We wanted to share with you one of our favorite stories growing up. I first heard it in the book Aesop for Children, illustrated by Milo Winters.
I particularly like fables as a form of simplistic storytelling, especially for children, but as an adult I still love them. Fables tend to use animals or forces of nature as stand-ins for humans, and they always have a lesson built into them. The best part of fables, though, is the lesson can shift over time as society changes.
One story that stands out to me is The Tortoise and the Hare. Here is a quick synopsis from my memory. A tortoise and a hare run a race. A tortoise is much slower than the hare. The hare has such a long lead that he stops to take a nap. The tortoise just keeps going.
Spoiler alert for this several thousands of years old story, the tortoise edges out a victory. In ancient Greek times, the lesson of the story was that arrogance and hubris can ruin talent. But in modern times, the focus is on the tortoise, with the lesson being slow and steady wins the race.
I took a different lesson from it when I was a kid. I saw that you can work slowly and consistently, or you can work really hard and take breaks before working really hard again. Both outcomes lead to reaching the finish line at roughly the same time. And that is what I love about fables. The story can stay the same, but the lessons we learn from it can vary from person to person and culture to culture. Fables have staying power because they allow the reader or listener to derive meaning beyond just the author's intent.
Dustin, thanks for letting us come on your show to share a story with you. You are a staunch advocate for podcasters everywhere, and your show is a delight to listen to. I hope there are many more episodes to come.
The updates to the stories, like The Tortoise and the Hare, are so interesting. The changing meanings from the stories move as the people do. The life in the stories means that they update along with the people telling them. So cool, and such cool hosts. Really, Dan and Shauna are so kind. The next podcast is a newer one that I stumbled across. I can only understand about half the episodes, because sometimes it is in Tagalog. This is an amazing podcast hosted by Earl, called the Philippine Campfire Podcast. Earl covers some traditional Pinoy folktales like Ethan does, but also a lot of contemporary ghost stories as well. Let's hear what Earl has to say.
Hi everyone, my name is Earl and I'm the host of Philippine Campfire Stories. It's a storytelling podcast for myths, legends, folklore, and true horror stories from the Philippines. Happy 200th episode to Sandman Stories Podcast, and congratulations to our very own Sandman, Dustin. The stories that you share are truly golden and must be preserved and passed on to a new generation of listeners and future storytellers. What makes a good story for me is when a story is hinted with just the right pinch of magic. When a very mundane and practically normal setting is elevated by involving fantasy. That's what Sandman Stories gives to us every episode, making our sleepless nights a little more fantastical. Congratulations again, and I wish you more success in your podcast.
Wow, Earl brought up a great point with that hint of magic. I'm so happy when there's an element of magic and fantasy and it rolls into the story. It just makes me smile because it's like, how are we going to get over this? Oh, well, magic. Cool. And Earl just passed 1 million downloads, so congrats, good sir, and salamat po. Here is one that I get to voice because my friend Roberto, of the history of Sakartvelo, Georgia, is not close to his recording studio. So it'll be voiced by me. What storytelling means to me is the ultimate way to share culture, ideas, memories, and traditions of an area through time eternal. You're able to sit with a group of people and hear the same story someone heard ages ago, and of course, with some changes here and there, but still have the same plot over time with a similar message throughout time. I also enjoy picking up similarities in stories throughout cultures, where I have read and told stories from different areas that keep the same plot line almost exactly, but with different creatures, items, or attitudes with the way the protagonist treats people. But my favorite thing is honestly just being able to see the enjoyment someone gets from a good story, especially when they've been lured in and want to keep hearing more. Thank you, Roberto. And I hope to hear a new episode from you soon. Let's turn back to Because Language one last time.
By the way, speaking of more licensing, I was recently visiting some children in my social circle, and I was reading a bedtime story to them, which was a modern retelling of Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, yeah.
Where the least interesting thing was that everything was gender flipped. So Little Red Riding Hood was a boy. The huntsman was a woman, etc. But the thing that really surprised me was at the end, when the huntsman has, in this version of the story, got the granny and Little Red Riding Hood out of the wolf. The wolf is like very sad. And the huntsman after a while is like, hey, do you want to work with me on like controlling the woods? And the wolf becomes like the assistant huntsman and gets like a job.
Cool. The idea, the kind of idea being if we give people the ability to work, they can, right? Like it's not just people aren't bad. They just need things there's in their life needs. Fixed so that they can, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. That was way more, when I got to that part, I had already been like, okay, Little Red Riding Hood is a boy. Okay. Well, these are just flipped, like whatever. Okay, fine. And then when I got to that part, I was like, no, but he's supposed to fall into the well with stones in his belly. He's supposed to, like, die.
I remember this clearly.
Yeah. And it was like, and then they guarded the woods and kept it free from pests and poachers.
That's a cool little twist. All right. Like Daniel said, like, if we acknowledge that most things are just people's unmet needs. And this is how we tell folk stories differently, right? For there a different time.
Every generation gives what it needs. Like in our age, Mother Gothel is a toxic narcissist, right? And so, because we need those stories. Well, I think we've taken enough time, but Dustin, we just like to say thanks for doing what you do and for bringing great stories to light. We appreciate you, and congratulations on the show.
Fixing the bad person and playing with gender roles is a cool part of modern folktales. I do like seeing the humanity in the broken ones and seeing how to help them, because we are all a little broken. Thank you so much for adding your wisdoms to this episode. And I saved this voice for last with good reason. Rishani reads all sorts of stories and is a great voice in the podcasting world. I knew I couldn't contain his voice to under a minute. To hear such a prolific podcaster and amazing storyteller gas me up is going to put an eternal smile on my face. Let's listen in.
So my guy gave me 30 seconds, but surprise, like really, who's going to be able to talk about Dustin and his show for less than 30 seconds? I don't think it's possible. You might want to give me the whole 10. This might just be my show. By the way, I'm Rashani. Hi, people call me Derek. Don't do that. Dustin wanted me to talk about what my favorite episode is of his show for his 200th episode, and congratulations, my guy. You earned it. Like, this is big, and I'm so super proud of you. But I gotta be honest with you. I don't have a favorite episode. I don't have a favorite story. Let me change that. I don't have a favorite story that I could just go back to, because yes, I did really enjoy the Anansi stories, because Anansi is dope, and I grew up with them. So it was like, you know, growing up with an old friend. But it's not the stories that get me. It's you, Dustin. You're the magic. You're a wizard. Like, literally, the voices you do, the way that you convey the story, the respect that you give to the cultures, the love that you give to the different cultures, the way that you make sure that you're saying hello and goodbye and thank you to them in the right dialect. Like, there's no jokes with you. You take all this so seriously, and you love it so much that I love it. It's you, bro. It's always you. You're the best part of your show, and it's not even close. And I look forward to seeing what happens after the next 300 episodes. Because I'll be right here listening to you. 30 seconds. Peace.
Thank you, Rishani. Your kind words mean more to me than you'll ever know. And that concludes episode 200. A big shout out to all the podcasters who will be listed in the show notes if anyone reads those. Appearing in order, Legendary Africa, Because Language, Tabby Tabby Podcast, Unsighted, Teacher Think Aloud, Our Show, Yield Crime, For Your Reference, Film Rage, Bewilderbeasts, Book Nerd Diaries, A History of the Inca, Mythological Africans, The Endless Knot, Uncanny Japan, Philippine Campfire, and Ratchet Book Club. And some of the other podcasts that I love, but due to time and my distracted brain, will have to appear on episode 500. Dustin Can Read, Inside the Great Khan's Tent, Just the Zoo of Us, Afriweto, Planthropology, Field Lab Earth, Black Girl Soul, Getting Down and Wordy, Lexitecture, Reddit on Wiki, The Crime Diner, Campfire Classics, One Mike Black History, The History of China, Irish History, and The History of English. And so many, many more. I love podcasts and podcasters and people who exude kindness. So to my friends and listeners, I say, thank you, happy 200th, and good night.